Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
Amen. We got to stand on that rock. Praise the Lord. We're really glad to have Brother Liming, Sister Liming. I was thinking about him a few years ago. I don't remember. You don't look any older. I don't know why you don't get to looking older like the rest of us, you know. But I was out in my front yard, and I think I was mowing or out doing something. Here come up this white-haired fellow. And he said, "Are you that Pentecostal preacher?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm him," you know. And he introduced himself to me, and we become good friends, and he worked with us a long time here in the church, and it's just good to have him back with us tonight again. Appreciate them being here. He's one of them old warriors that is kind of like a fellow Marine of mine was here this morning, and he said, "You know, we don't talk about Marines being ex-Marines, we just talk about them that they are Marines," and that's the way we are as pastors, Brother Liming. We're not ex-pastors, or we're not this. We just are what we are, and we thank God for that opportunity to be what we are. Praise the Lord. No matter how old we get, we never lose that desire, nor that hunger, nor that feeling that we want to tell somebody about the Lord. Amen? And I guess that's why one writer in the Bible said, "You know, it burns in my heart." I said I wasn't going to do it anymore, but it kind of burns in my heart, and I just cannot lay it down. And that's kind of why that us old guys just keep right on a going, because we're just afraid to stop and lay down. We may die. So we're just going to keep on preaching until you run us off. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I wanted to talk to you tonight. Dennis kind of tore up my thought that I had this morning, but I want to kind of deal with where I feel the Lord kind of laid it on my heart. And I want you to turn with me to Jude, if you will, the book of Jude, right after 3 John, just before the book of Revelation. And we're going to read the verse number 3, an old familiar verse there, and go for there. Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your love, your mercy, your goodness, and for the blessings of the Lord. We thank you tonight for the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for the strength and the energy, Lord, to deliver it. And we pray for your wisdom, your knowledge, and your ability, Lord, to do what you have asked us to do. God bless and anoint, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And we'll love and we'll thank, and God will praise you for it. Amen. And amen. The book of Jude, and I'm going to give you this scripture and a little illustration before we really get into what I want to talk about. And I really want to deal with some issues we have. He said, "Beloved," and he's talking about those that love God, those that are serving God, those that have dedicated their life unto God, those that are going through hard times, good times. It doesn't make any difference, spiritual, physical, financially. He's talking about the born-again saints of God. So he said, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you, I'm writing unto you of the common salvation, for it was needful." And I want you to look at that operative word. "It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you, listen, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." There's three areas I want to touch in that tonight with the help of the Lord. And one of them, that it is needful in the day and time we're living in, and also in the church world that we're living in, it's needful for us to begin to deal with this subject again. And then that we could earnestly contend for the third part, the faith that God has put within our heart, and not only within our heart, but it was once delivered unto the old time saints of God. And we'll deal with that in a little bit here tonight. But we want you to look at that and to earnestly contend. Now, we're talking about what it really means to earnestly contend for the faith. I dare say that every everybody, there's somewhere, sometime in your life that you have dealt with the lack of faith within your life, of believing God for something or something going on in your life. And though when you were well and healthy and everything was going fine, it was real easy to have a lot of good faith and to believe God for the things that were going on. But when things began to get a little hairy, they say out in the young people's world today, when things begin a little bad within our life and our faith becomes tested by the Holy Ghost, then we somehow feel like we don't have enough faith to earnestly contend for what God has already given unto us. Now, I'm not going to belay this because you know that God has given everybody a measure of faith, and I'm not going to really belay that and get into that. You know that you have a certain amount of faith within your life that God has given unto you and given unto the early saints of God. You have that within your life tonight. But the Bible or the dictionary tells us that to earnestly contend for the faith means to esteem it highly within our life, or a careful effort within our life to begin to cause that faith to grow that God has given unto us. Listen to them, to carefully have an effort within your life, make an effort within your life to begin to grow that faith that God, and have perseverance in your life that when things are going wrong or going bad, you're going to persevere irregardless of what is going on within your life. So I want you to think about this a little bit here tonight. God began to deal with me about issues in the church. Some people have heart problems. Somebody have diabetic problems. Somebody have cancer problems. Somebody has other problems within their life, and it's in the church world today. And because of that, the enemy tries to somehow hinder or decrease this take away our faith in God. And we become despondent. We become fearful. We become full of anxiety. And therefore, we are not able to believe God like God said within His Word. So when we look at this tonight, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 3. And then I want to give you an illustration of what I'm really talking about. And you may have heard it before, but I want to give it to you anyhow. There was a little boy one time that was flying his kite, and it was very high. The clouds were low, the kite was way up in there, and he was holding on to that string. And somebody come by, a man said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm flying my kite. And he said, well, looked up, and he said, "I don't see any kite. I don't see anything up in the air. How do you know that it's there?" He said, "Well, I feel the tug of the string, amen. I feel the tug of it, that I know that the kite is up there." Now, I want you to listen to that, and in the next verse, the Bible said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith," amen. There is a tug that comes from God to increase our faith in Him. When we get low, when we get despondent, when we get fearful, or when things begin to go wrong, there's a certain amount of tug that somehow that God puts within our heart, within our soul. We know He's real. We know He's there. And so what are we going to do? We're going to hold fast, amen, to the profession, or that little bit of tug that we feel up there. Now, there's going to be that person that's going to come by, and he's called the devil or the imps of hell or whatever you want to term him tonight. He's going to come by and say, "Well, you can't see God. How do you know that He's there?" "Well, I feel the tug." And he's going to say, "Well, you're going to die. What's wrong with you?" And you say, "No, I feel the tug of God within my heart." Or he may say, "You're going to lose your job, or you're going to lose your health, or your children's going by the wayside, or whatever's going to happen in your life." He's very good at what he does. He's very good. He's got it all programmed in his mind that he's able to draw up these things over and over again within your life. When you're sick in body, when you don't feel good, he comes around and he says unto you, "Where is your God? If God loves you, where is He?" And that's where the Bible said, "Let us hold fast." Hold fast to what? The profession of our faith, amen. That we're going to profess it. We're not going to profess the illness or the sickness or the thing that's going on in our life. We're not going to profess that, but we're going to profess what our faith we have in God. I can't see see him, but I can feel him. I know that he's there. I feel the tug within my heart and my soul. And because of that, I'm going to hold on to the integrity of my faith. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Amen. I'll tell you, that wavering is the hard part of it. Amen. When we're not feeling good, or things are going wrong, or we get weak in body, or whatever it is, it's very easy to begin to waver a little bit. Come on, say amen. You know what I'm talking about. That we begin to waver in our faith. But I want you to remember something. There's still the tug. There's still that tug from heaven that God has given unto you. Oh, you say, Pastor, I don't have a lot of faith in God. It seemed like my faith had kind of dwindled away. No. God said, I've given every man a measure of faith. It's there. God don't take back what he gives. It's there. It belongs unto you. It belongs unto me. And all we have to do is begin to grow that faith in God. How do we grow it? Well, we grow it by the word of the Lord. Amen. By listening, by praying, by reading and studying and applying ourselves, putting forth an effort with perseverance in God and saying, Lord, I'm going to hold unto you. What did Job say when the devil said, you're going down, bud? I've got you. And he went to God and he said, I'm taking him down, you know. And God said, well, we'll see about that. And so Job, you know, went through all kinds of things, everything within his life. And every time the devil said, well, I didn't get him here, but I'll get him the next time. And so I'll put something else there and I'm going to give him. Finally, Job just rose up. Even after his wife said, hey, now this is pretty bad when your wife said, why don't you curse God and die? I mean, brother, that's pretty bad within your life when your wife gives up on you. But nevertheless, the Bible said Job stood up and said, I know. Hey, come on. I like that word, don't you? Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that I'm going to stand with him in my place on the earth in this last day. And even though that he slay me, I'm still going to feel that tug from heaven. Amen. I'm still going to hold on to it because I know he's there. And I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to give in. I may get discouraged and I may get downhearted. And I may have my times of pity within my life. But I know in whom I believe. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that I have committed unto him against that day. Somebody say amen. This is what he said. We're not going to waver. Amen. You may go through a difficult time. I may be going through a difficult time, and every pastor, everybody does. No, none of us is exempted from going through things within our life. But we've got to come to the place by the grace of God. If we don't understand it, we can't figure it out. We try with our mind, and we're trying to say, God, would you give me would you help me, Lord, to understand? We can understand that when it all comes to an end, when everything feels like it's kind of flowing inward rather than outward, you got to stand up and not waver and say, I feel the tug of heaven. Amen. I feel the tug of heaven. I thought about Brother Paul, and tonight and I, in my study, and I thought about Brother Paul has a son that had a very, a very difficult thing happen in his life. Had a very high IQ and was a man they sent all over the world to fix computers and do all of them kind of things. But all of a sudden he had an aneurysm in his brain and it kind of took him down. And I thought, Brother Paul, I thought you're the only hope he has. Amen. You're the one that has to take a hold of that tug of heaven, that faith in God. You got to hold on to that for that boy, amen? Nobody else going to be concerned. Oh, there might be people concerned, but they don't have the faith. You got to have that faith, Brother Paul, to hold on for that thing that's going to happen. I thought about Sister Veronica and her daddy laying in the hospital and they say he's not going to live. But I'm telling you tonight, Sister Bridie, you got to hold on to that tug of heaven. You can't let go of it, no matter if they tell you he's not going to live. They don't have any right. They don't know if he's going to live or die. That Jesus has that within his hand, amen. He may go to heaven, but it doesn't make any difference. You're going to hold on to that tug you feel from heaven until it's all over with, amen. You and I cannot waver when it comes to serving God, amen. Amen. I thought about Brother Walker. He and I have quite a relationship in visiting and having a good time. And I've seen him kind of hardly make it up that ramp to get in the church. And I'll joke with him and I'll do them kind of things. But I know, and he said to me many, many times, he said, I don't know why God don't heal my knees, or I don't know why God don't do this. But you know what? Every time the church doors open, who comes in with his walker? Here comes old Brother Walker, amen. Not wavering, because he knows in whom he believes and is persuaded that he's able to keep him unto that day. Come on. Wavering. I'm talking about wavering. For let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because he, Jesus, is faithful that has promised unto you and I. Come on. He is faithful that promised. God cannot lie. Listen to me. God cannot lie. He gave you and I a measure of faith. He's going to grow that. He's going to help us to stand up and not waver and say unto the devil, my God is able. He's real. I can feel the tug from heaven within my heart. Well, listen, Hebrews 10 and 38. Now, I want you to get this, if you will, please, and listen to it carefully. Now the just shall live. Oh, wait a minute. Don't stop there. But yeah. Now the just shall live. Are you alive tonight? Are you living? You're going to live all throughout eternity. You're never, never going to die. They may lay this old flesh in the grave someday, but you're not there. Amen. You're not there. You are not going to die. Then now the just shall live. And how are they going to live? They're going to be by faith, or by that tug from heaven. Amen. By that tug waiting on God. I've got a Fox's Book of Martyrs I read. I think somebody, preacher, brought it up here the other day. And if you would read that and understand what the people went through, you would understand that for you and I today, we cannot, under any circumstances, begin to draw back. Because God said, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, why does God allow this? And why am I going through it if God, you know, really says this? But listen, you know, God did not promise you that you would not go through some difficult times. He did not promise that at all. He did promise that he would be with you. He would go with you. He would keep you. He would strengthen you. He would watch over you. He would provide for you. He would protect you. And he would heal you. And he'll do all them things. But God did not say at any time that we would not have difficult times. But in fact, the Lord in his word has told us over and over again that there are going to be temptations. There are going to be trials. There are going to be testings within our life. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you to the end. Listen to what he said. Now the just shall live. Amen. Have you determined to live for God? Come on. Have you determined it? No matter what in your life, have you really determined, God, I'm going to live? Amen. And physically, if the devil tells you you're going to die, can you rise up and say, devil, I'm going to live? Because Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. I'm going to hold on. Brother Paul, you got to hold on. Brother Kurt, you got to lift him up. You got to strengthen him. And you're the only one standing between him and, you know, and God, you got to lift him up. And Brother Walker, you got to keep right on. Sister Veronica, you got to hold on. Tie a knot in the end of the rope and get a hold of it and say, I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to be one of them that draws back, that God will have no pleasure in me. Somebody say amen. Amen. The diligent, amen. Those that are willing to fight the good fight and lay hold on eternal life. Now, what is faith? Now, faith is something that, and I'm not going to dwell on this a lot because it's been talked about for years and years. Let me just give you a little synopsis, just a little drop of something in your soul. It said in Hebrews 12 and 1, amen, if you'd like to turn there. No, I don't want that scripture right now. I'm sorry. I don't want that one right now. We're going to hold on to that. I do want Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders received a good report. What is the substance of your faith tonight? What is the substance that you have? It is something that you hold on to until the real thing comes to pass. Amen? And I don't know what this substance is, or it's a foundation within your heart, within your life, that you're not going to waver, but you're going to believe and trust God no matter what the devil does, how he does it, when he does it, and for what reason he does it. It's a foundation. If you really look at this with all of your heart, your soul salvation is on the foundation of your faith that you accepted Jesus Christ by faith within your life. Everything that you get from God is built on the foundation of faith. It's something you can't always feel, but it's solid. It's real. It's there. It's a foundation. It's a substance, something within your life that you can hold on to, knowing that God is real and He's going to meet the need you have within your life by speaking it unto the enemy and the devil, let him know where you stand. Now listen, what the Bible declares on it. It said that the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What was it delivered unto them? Well, by faith, Enoch was translated. You know, he lived for God. And so the Bible said that God just took him home, you know, and not by the way of death, but just caught him up. And he, by faith, he served God, lived his testimony to please the Lord. By faith, Abraham offered up his son, and then God restored him. By faith, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. By faith, Abraham's son was born by faith in what God had told him, that he's going to have a son. By faith, Noah built the ark. He didn't know what an ark was. He didn't know what a boat was. He didn't know what rain was. God just said, build the ark, and I'm going to save you out of the flood. What's a flood, God? Doesn't make a difference, boy. You just build the ark. Amen. And so he built the ark, and by faith, and was saved, and he and his family. The Bible declares unto us, listen very carefully, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had cruel cruels of mockings and scourging, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, and they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all obtained a good report through faith received by the promise of God. Amen. Are you living in a den? Are you being tormented? Listen, the Bible said you've not yet resisted unto blood. You haven't given your blood. Listen to what the word of the Lord said unto us. And God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. Where do we get our faith today? Where do we get it? The Bible said in Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hey, are you looking at that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. God authorized it. God gave it. It's there within your heart. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of God. Jesus authorized the faith that we have in him. You don't maybe understand it. You maybe don't comprehend it. You may even question God. But all you got to do is believe and feel the tug within your heart that God has given you to let you know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now let me summarize this and with one scripture. Why is it important? Why is it important not only in your life, the things that you're going through, why is it so important that we not waver in our faith? Here it is. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You hear what I'm saying? We're encamped about. You've exercised your faith. You've professed your faith. You've told people you have faith in God. Now the Bible said, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us what? Run with patience the race that is set before us. This is what God is saying. It's not only important that we exercise our faith for our health, for our needs, for our finance, for our family, for our children, for our church and everything else. That is not only the reason. The reason, an important reason, is that there are many people watching your life. They are, statistics tell us, they have run a statistic on it, they tell us that everybody has a minimum of 7 people that are watching their lives on a daily basis. A minimum of 7 people. You are encamped around about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The faith that you profess, the faith that you talk about, you cannot waver, because if you do, somebody is going to fall by the wayside. You've got to hold to that integrity. You got to persevere. You got to hold to God's unchanging hand. And realize this, that God will never leave you nor forsake you, but he'll be with you. He'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. And in the end, Jesus said, will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joys of the Lord. Do you believe this? Say amen. You can feel the tug. Amen. You can't see it. You can't see God. You can't see the Lord Jesus. But every time you feel that witness in your heart, that's a tug from heaven telling you, I'm here. You can't see me, but I'm here. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In fact, when you got saved, Jesus came within your heart to live there. He is there to take care of you. Listen to what the word of the Lord says tonight.
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message. And in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.